you, Jesus. May we please you today by offering ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray that if someone here doesn't know you, that they, in simple faith, see the need for you. And Lord, know that it's so much better to live as a child of God. And I pray that you'd bless our hearts. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, may our hearts receive what you have and respond to what you tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, great to have everybody here. For on leadership, they say if you think you're a good leader and you look behind and no one's behind you, you're just taking a walk. So I hope somebody's following today, not necessarily me, but following Jesus. And I'm going to try to give you some things that I believe will help you be a better disciple. I mean, I know it's a rhetorical question, but let me ask you, how many people would love to be a better follower of Jesus? You know, and with that then comes hard work. So I'm not fussing at you. I'm just challenging you and encouraging you. Dare to be a disciple continues today. To be a follower of Jesus is not always easy, but almost, it's certainly rewarding. And almost daily I can say, Lord, I'm glad I'm on your side. I'm glad I'm one of yours. I started off last week and I said, how many of you remember measuring your height like this to see if you'd grown any? And we put a little mark on the wall or something and we come up there. It's funny how when you're a little kid, you almost want to come up on your toes to say, look, I've grown. We're so eager to grow. We want to grow. I can remember being younger, you'd think, well, I can't wait for the day I start shaving. I can remember, don't tell anybody, I'm just being honest here. I had a little pencil of a mustache one time. Trell, don't tell anybody, but I mean, the preacher's being honest. I think my brother, Dennis, had probably had gray right through his beard, so he bought this, looked like mascara or something. I must have blown him off. And he would do that to darken. Well, I did that to make it look like I had a mustache, because you couldn't see it. I mean, remember that old saying, the cat could probably put, you know, you could put milk on your face, have the cat lick off your whiskers. I mean, it's weird. We want to have a beard. We can have, and now, how many of you men, Brett, you love shaving ever? Yes. You know, isn't that crazy? When you're young, you can't wait to shave. When you get old, like, oh. I'll show you another thing, young people. They hate to go to bed and love getting up the next day. And then you get up into the teen years and it's like, you know, I want to stay up all night and hate getting up. Isn't that weird? So we switch as we go. I can remember when I was a little kid, man, you'd be up 5 or 6 o'clock. Nothing to do. You just run around the house and stuff. Other people wanted to sleep. But we change. We want to grow. We want to be. And then somehow we hit that snag. Maybe you want to do this. I want to be like my mom and dad. I want to be tall. I want to be, hey, I want to grow up. My mom used to tell me this. Be careful with gaining weight, because it'll come a day that it'll be harder to lose it. I remember drinking a milkshake. You go see Rocky. Then you did it, right? You saw Rocky come out and put 2 eggs in there, protein or something. And then I went to look up that thing. It said, some coaches said, if you drink a milkshake a day, you'll gain like a, you know, 5 pounds in a month.
Yeah.
Imagine wanting to gain weight. And now it's like, oh, watch this, watch that. I want to grow up. And now we're like this. What if there was a way to measure your spiritual growth? If I could put a measuring device on you today, what would your measurement be? I just don't want mine to be the same as it was last week. That's it. Well, that's pretty simple. It is. I don't want to be what I used to be. It's sad that, what if someone's 30 years old and they're this tall? You'd think, well, is that a, what would you call them, baby? Is that a dwarf or a dwarf? But yeah, I've known other people could be 30 years old, and I remember seeing a girl in a wheelchair. She'd never grown. And you say, oh, what a shame. Well, guess what I want to tell you? If I know the same things that I did when I was a little kid in Sunday school, somebody would probably look at me, what a shame. How many Bible verses? Not that you in a tangible way to read, but let's just pretend. If I knew 5 verses 2 years ago, what should I know today? 50? At least. But it's like, I know the same 5. I don't want to be someone who's not growing. So what would your measurement look like? Perhaps, Chris, throw that up there. Chris is going to get it for me. If you... just as we need to grow physically, we all need to grow spiritually. There are no exceptions. I just now probably surprised some of y'all by saying that. Some people think you say, I do on that day. And now you can say, I did on that day. You know, you got married. And that that was the end of that. You never had to romance your wife anymore. You never, all the work was done. No more to do. Right, Mark? Mark, anyway, that's the beginning. Or if someone says, I've graduated from high school, never have to do any more homework. Now, you're always going to have work to do. I wonder why we think when we get saved, took care of that. All of us are supposed to be disciples. Chris, check this video out. Here's why we're not disciples.
I went to the potter's house today and found him working in his shop. As the clay spun on the wheel, his hands became intertwined with his creation. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, because the clay was unsuitable for his design. So he crushed it back into a lump and started over. I realized that what the potter can make depends on the quality and purity of the clay. So if the clay becomes dry and too hard, it makes it difficult to shape and form. As I stood there watching the potter work, God spoke something to me. He said, "Can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? Can I not mold and shape you into the design I want? As the clay is in his hands, so are you in my hands." As I thought about what God said, I realized something. What God shapes his people into can depend on our response to his refinement. To truly become the masterpiece God intended, we have to cooperate by letting him mold us into his design. As I left the potter's house, my prayer was this: Lord, you are the potter. We are the clay. All of us are the work of your hands. So have your way in us.
We are the clay, and he is the potter. If you need a Bible, James is going to get you one right there. Anybody need a Bible? Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And John chapter 15. So you're a lump of clay, and I'm a lump of clay. The day we get saved, there goes the clay. And from then on, now what's he start to do?
Mold.
He starts to mold us. He starts to make us. And he says, now just pretend with me for a second. If Jesus is the potter sitting there at the wheel, and God comes over, and there is a big pile of clay right there. He says, that's Edgar Moser's clay. And he says, oh, I've been waiting on him so long. Whether I'm 8 years old when I got saved, or whether I'm 20 or whatever, I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart when I was 8 years old, and I was so thankful, and the Lord changed me, and I was one of the few that didn't cuss in grade school, and I wanted to go to church all the time. Then I got into high school, and then I thought, well, you just miss a Wednesday, and then you miss a Sunday, and then pretty soon you don't go at all, and I don't know, I don't want you to raise your hand, but that soon, and I just dropped back. The devil smiled because I wasn't doing anything for God. And if I was clay, James, where was I on that? I think I probably crawled off the spinning wheel there.
Just a big lump?
Yeah, I'm a big lump doing nothing. And then a few years later, I said, Lord, it's time to... Tim invited me to a retreat. I went to a retreat, and the Lord just spoke to my heart. And I think he'd been priming me with things all along. And I finally just said, put my foot down. This is it. God says, welcome home. I got back up on the wheel, and God says, I'm going to get my hands wet, and I'm going to mold this guy into something. And he started molding me. By the way, he's not through molding me. I still need him to get the best of me. You feel like that clay? Now, Ephesians says a verse. In Ephesians, I said John 15. You don't have to turn this over. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace that you're what? For it is by faith that you're saved. You know, it's grace. Well, let's just look at Ephesians, so I'll give it. You don't have to. Let me just read it to you. For it is by grace and I'm saved through faith, and that not of myself. I'm making it to me. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. Now picture Jesus, and this is an art gallery, and we walk in the door, and they say, oh, good to have you today. Let me show you some of my artwork. And right here's a painting. That painting, let's say, is you. Or over here is that clay. That's us. And I just think people are like, wow, this thing is beautiful. Oh, that was, and you fill it in. Well, that was Carrie. She used to just be a big lump of clay. But I've shaped her. Wouldn't that be cool, Carrie? I've shaped her into something. What if he went over and said, oh, well, who's this pile of clay there? Well, what if somebody said, but you know what? I'm going to give you good news, Ben. Or the rest of us that feel like lumps of clay sometimes. Mark already knows what I'm going to say. What if somebody says, man, that's just a big old pile of clay. What would Jesus tell this person looking at that clay? I'm not what? I'm not done with him yet. Let me show you what he's going to look like. And he picks up the picture and says, look at him. Oh, wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to work on him until he gets to this one. So that's called discipleship, by the way. Now you help me with this. Let me ask you to consider the following. That's some guy, I think it's John Elway. Anyway, he gave somebody a jersey. They probably, Brett, is that recruiting out of college, or I guess. What do you think he wants this guy to do from then on? I guess play, yeah, no, so it says. What do you think they want him to do? Better play ball, get to work. Or how about this one? Somebody's hired at McDonald's. What do you want them to do? I guess get to work. You are now drafted in the United States Army. I believe you might want to get to work. I'll just give you the last one. Don't even have to. What if they swear you in as a fireman? I guess they want you to get to work. So let me ask you a simple question. Why did they hire this guy and tell him to play ball? Why do they hire this person and say get to work? Why do they draft you or pull you into the service, train hard? Why do they swear you in and tell you to go fight fire? And why does Jesus save you, God calls you to himself, and we don't do any of those things? Why do they do them? But we just feel like, well, I've got to buy. I've got a, what's that, a monopoly? You know, pass. Do not pass, go. I got to pass. How come? Well, if I'm here, I'll go to work. If I'm here, I'll go to, I'll do all that. But God saves me, and he pulls me close to him and says, Edgar, you know what you need to do? You need to get to work, because you are my workmanship. I want somebody to come through the art gallery and say, this is my picture. This is Edgar Moser. Man, I had to do a lot of chiseling on him. But anyway, here he is. That'd be cool. I want to be a disciple of his. He does not tell me to do this. Now, I've saved you and set you free, and I need you to go right over and sit on the bench. All right, that's it. Oh, how disappointing. So we're the clay. Remember the movie you watched? See if this is not true. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should work in them. Okay. Question and answer time. Yeah, it's the teacher buddy. How many people think that God wants to save everyone? 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, the way some men count slackness, but he is patient with you, long-suffering with you, not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to come to him. And once he saves you, how many of you think that he wants you to be a disciple? Oh, no, Edgar, that's just for you, your call. No, it's not. Everybody in here needs to be a disciple. And then once you become a disciple for too long, Kendall, what's he want us to in turn be? He wants us to turn and be disciple makers. So he says, you know how exciting? Yeah. Why don't you go recruit? So I'm supposed to tell people God is doing a work in me. I still mess up, but man, I'm his workmanship. So we're supposed to acknowledge God, admit God's real, that we believe in him. Of course, the demons in hell believe in him. Don't stop at that. Then ask him, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sins? And now Jesus says, great. Welcome to the apprenticeship. For the next couple years, I am going to work with you, and I'm going to change you, and you're going to be something that you've never been. I don't know, Lord. I'm not. No. You're something special. Watch a little kid goes by with a t-shirt and says, I'm special. On the back of the shirt it said, because God don't make junk. And I thought, wow. So what is discipleship? I think a disciple is a learner, a student, a pupil, or a follower. Notice I didn't say a student, A plus. As long as you want to learn, we're a disciple. Here's the next thing, a process a disciple goes through. When does it end? Y'all want to tell me that? It never does. It never does end. Well, what's it take? What it takes is to begin, continue, and finish a discipleship process. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we'll be like Him. And you say, wow, how does a discipleship process work? Well, look at that last thing, a desire and a dedication. Benjamin, I'm going to use Benjamin as an example. Benjamin's a good example. Benjamin, did you go to Bible study last week in the morning? What time did you go?
Like 7, 8.
Okay. If I could say at 7 a.m. you'd be here at the church. Benjamin's doing some stuff with Young Life. I'm proud of him, you know. And how did you even do that? Where did it all begin? Probably because a friend invited you. So if you guys will invite somebody, I find that about 80% of the people come to church is because somebody invited them. So somebody said, Benjamin, why don't you come to Bible study? Okay. And it's going to be at 7 o'clock in the morning, hour and a half before school starts. That's all right, I'll be there. I like that. Benjamin, I want to encourage you. Can you do this for Benjamin? You know, it's like, I mean, would you do that? So I said, meet me here tomorrow at 6 a.m. So much for the discipleship process. How come we're like it? I like sleep. Yeah. I have a tough thing with preaching on discipleship because I want to challenge you, not harangue you, not be. But on the same hand, you think back to a teacher you had in high school. Why are you proud of that teacher? Was it a teacher that let you slide or challenged you? Challenged you. You talk to boys that played football for Steve Ragsdale, they're not, it sounds like they're complaining. They're not complaining. What are they really doing? They're bragging. You know, I remember one year, man, he liked to run us to death. Yeah, Ragsdale, man, no, don't you talk about him. Oh, so don't you talk about him because I respect him, but let me just tell you what he pushes through. And so I want people, I want to get together guys here on the Sunday morning at 9:45. You know, it's like, okay, may I invite a few people? And if you say, I'm going to show up, we're going to be disciples. And I'm learning right with you. So Benjamin gives me a good example right there. Show up early. Oh, man, that takes something. I know. What did Jesus tell his disciples? It could cost you something. What did he tell them it may cost them? All of them died except John, and he was exiled on an isle, you know, on the Isle of Patmos. Can you imagine? I want you to be a disciple. Yes, sir. I want you to show up 5 o'clock in the morning. Yes, sir. You might die.
No, sir.
You know, there went the door closed. And he said they're going to have a track down at Maxwell. They got what they look like a paper clip. It starts inside and does this and goes all the way out, and then they do that and somehow go back in the middle. He said they get up at 4:30 and run 6 miles every day. What part would you get lost at right there? 4:30, I can't even get up there. There's an old saying with the Army. They said we get done more done by 9 o'clock than most people do all day. I think that's true. I got a taste of it. Andy would do that every day. If somebody says, if you're getting up at 4:30 in the morning. Okay. And after a few weeks, like, ugh, this is killing me. What don't kill you makes you better. So finally, I'm going to start getting better. And finally, I'm bragging. Jesus says, get up in the morning and read your Bible for 30 minutes. That's a lot. I don't know where you want to start, but I'm going to give you some ideas. Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples. In the 11, in the mountain where Jesus had told them, he's been training them for 3 years, and he's going to turn them loose. Therefore, go and make disciples. He said, how many of y'all disciples? All of his hands went up. By the way, were all 12 of them, the original 12 there? No, they already lost one person. He said, the 11 of you are going to go change the world. You go and make disciples. So we are disciples there, and then we go make disciples. And then the disciples we make is disciples. And pretty soon, it's called the multiplication process. That'll never work. Ask somebody who's in Mary Kay or Tupperware and see if it works. You know, it's a multiplication process. Let's just compare that to spiritual things. Keep in mind that not, let's fill in the blanks. Keep in mind that not, keep in mind that every Christian should be a disciple. And every disciple should be a... I thought that was your job. Not your job. What am I supposed to do? Invite one person at Life Point next week. You get him here. I'll tell him about Jesus. Mark is like, I catch fish, you clean. That's what you bring the fish next week, I'll clean. You bring the fish. Man, that's sort of like out of my comfort zone. I agree. How many of you think these guys are out of their comfort zone? I guarantee you I wasn't there. I don't know, but I guarantee you they watched Jesus leave. And they turned his life. You ready? And they stepped out and did it, didn't they? And I mean, they just jumped up and... So what is it? Who needs it? When should I do it? How can I do it? Follow Christ closely. That's what it is. It's to start being a learner. I'm just challenged. I need it. Everyone needs it. When should I do it? Chris, would you quit? Thanks a lot, Chris. I'm going to train Chris about
some
computers.
He's trying to rush you.
Okay, let's pray. No, turn to John chapter 15. Welcome to Discipleship 101. Say, well, what brought this on? I think it's been in the back of my mind for a few months. And the next thing I know, I just feel like, Jesus, I want my church to grow. I'm proud of y'all, but Max Lucado said this. He said, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. I want us to grow. I want you to look back by Thanksgiving and say, in 1 month's time, or by Christmas, look how much I've grown. Well, what do I do? Well, you can get up at 5:30 and meet with some friends like Benjamin does, or you can, what can I do? How can you help me grow? So I want to do it. Well, I mean, it'd be great to come in here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and I'd put you in groups of three. Why three? We can just, and each person pray. I've never prayed before. We can say, Jesus, thank you that I'm here. Thank you for all you do. Next sentence. Does that work? Absolutely. And we just start sharing life together. That's, what if the disciples ever got mad at each other? Absolutely. They got ugly with each other. Oh, yeah, well, why don't you just calm down over there? It was one big happy family. No, it wasn't. It was people doing life together. And life gets messy. I guarantee you they would be mad at each other. James and John were called the sons of thunder, hotheads. How about Peter? Slice off your ear while he's looking at you. I bet you Peter got more fights than anybody on that disciple group. So, yes, life was messy, but man, those people changed the world. And here's what he's going to tell them. I'm going to give you, this is a commission. So today, picture you're at West Point, or you picture your Air Force Academy, and him will give you a commission, and we get to give you a rank. And by the way, once we commission you, the whole word commission means to start. Okay, here it is, John chapter 15. Well, you don't have to read them for it, but I just want to show you. Jesus washed their feet in 13. In 14, he said, guys, I'm going to die in the next short while, and he comforted them. He told him, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to help you. And he promises him the Holy Spirit and says, when I leave, oh, we're going to be alone. No, no, no. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be your comforter. And then he gives him this challenge in John chapter 15. He's going to step on their toes a little bit. Let's read it. We need these. Some of the final verses of Jesus. Here it is. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You probably said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. I didn't remain in me in high school. I went and found my own way for a while and just goofed off. Benjamin, I wasn't getting up at 7 o'clock for a Bible study when I was a junior, so you've got something on me. Matter of fact, when I was playing football my senior year, Coach Ken Kay came in and we had a pregame meal. And he said, Mosier, pray for us. Okay. You know what part of me inside was saying? Lord, I know I haven't talked to you for a long time. And somehow, can you imagine that? By the way, we're praying in the public school for a meal. Wow. I said, Jesus, thanks for this food. And Father really said, what's on my heart? Lord, I have been wayward, and I'm the prodigal running from you. But I didn't say that. Lord, bless this Texas toast and chopped steak and tea. And Lord, help us to win. And I somehow got through prayer. That Lord uses little things like that to me. I wasn't in Jesus. Was that growing?
Nope.
Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He just makes it clear. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I wish you'd be more clear, don't you? If anyone does not remain in me, there it is again, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my what? The world doesn't even have to ask. They'll know you're mine. You're my disciples. Verse 9, and as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So now remain, there's that word again, in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, and one lay down his life for his friends. That's what he's about to do. You're my friends, you can do what I command you. Sounds like a mama telling her kids that. You're my friend if you do what I tell you. Jesus just right up front with these disciples. And they probably thought, Lord, so we got to obey your commands? Well, greater love. I'm going to show you how much I love you the next day, so I'm going to die for you. By the way, I love this verse 15. It says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you what?
Friends.
Wow. I bet you those old tough fishermen started crying. You're my friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and, you guessed it, bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, that you love one another. Years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, where the capital or the Coke company decided to change something, they changed their classic Coke. And sales were dipping down about 25 or 30%. So they changed their classic Coke and come out with a new Coke, new formula, new everything. Yeah, it went from 30% drop in sales to about 50. It got worse. And all of them thought, we're trying to improve. What happened? Someone brilliant sitting around the table says, why don't we just go back and what? Do what we've been doing for years.
Ain't nothing like the real thing.
Go back, and that's it. Things go better with Coke. Can we just go back and make it like it used to be? They said no. They went back and got rid of the new Coke, went to classic Coke. Sales went through the roof. Why? Everybody was glad to have old Coke back. We just had to take it away for a while to get you to realize that that's what you would like. What do you think the classic Coke is comparison to? Being a disciple. And we'll try newfangled things, and we'll do all this, and after a while it just doesn't work, and God says, won't you just do what I tell you? Do what? Remain in me. If you do, you will bear much fruit. Well, can I try that? No. Remain in me. I'm going to try this. Okay. What will you do if you're not in him?
Nothing.
Pretty blunt. That's a sales pitch we just lost. Like, remain in me. How do I remain in him? Get up in the morning and say, Jesus, I'm close to you. It's like picking up a phone, calling an old friend. You know, I know we haven't talked for a while. Oh, we just pick up right where we left off. And you try to just say, Lord, it's so easy. All I got to do is just, I got to hear from you by reading, and I got to talk to you by praying. Ben put something online this week about a teacher that Andy had years ago. His name was Don Webb. I'm glad Ben put that on there, because that reminded me, Andy hadn't had Don Webb in years. And he passed away the other day at about the age of what, Ben? 73?
73.
And I knew Andy would hurt, so I emailed him. When Andy hurts, I hurt. That's because he's in me and I'm in him. It's like, wow, y'all sound like father and son. And I wrote Andy. I said, Andy, I hate to tell you this, but you know, Mr. Webb, I hadn't seen him in years. Mr. Webb passed away. And he went, oh, like, well, Mom sent me the thing from the paper. So, and I said, okay. Hours later, Andy types out a page and says what Don Webb, what a difference he made. So I printed it all off, walked down there to the Hotel Roanoke because they were having a service. And I walked in there and I spoke to somebody and I said, I just want you to talk to Don Webb's wife. I said, here's what difference Don Webb made in Andy's life. And she thought, wow, Andy's 36. Andy had him as a teacher in fifth grade. So he'd be, what, 10? Quarter of a century ago, Andy had Don Webb. And instantly, you could say, oh, yeah, I would remember a story. Now, if it was a couple of people that had him as a teacher, they, oh, yeah, that's the way you said it. Everybody said something there. I remember he had this dry sense of humor, and Andy said a little kid, and he said a classmate of his was making noise with keys or something one day, and Mr. Webb went over and says, can I have the keys? And he played with these instead. He gave him two cotton balls. He said, do that, man. Yeah, there you go. And it's like, same guy that Andy said he called up on him and said, looked around, here's two quarters. I want you to go down to the teacher's and put these in the Coke machine. Get me a Coke. Bring it to me. And if anybody stops you, I don't know you, and I've never heard of you. Yeah. So it's like if you get in trouble, you're on your own. So he had a dry sense of humor, but how does Andy know? Because that guy helped disciple Andy. Andy wrote in there, and I'm just blinking back tears. He said, maybe the reason why I wear a tie and a white shirt is because Don Webb, guess what, wore a tie and a white shirt. Maybe he influenced me back clear back then. And he says, all I know is this. And he says, I hate math. Amen. Just like his dad. He says, I hate math. And he said, for a year I loved it. All because of the teacher. And he said he'd tell me stories about Davy Jones Law. I remember Andy would come home and tell me a story about Davy Jones Law. And I said, what'd you have? Math class. And he said he would tell us a story and somehow get it back to math. And he said, for some reason, I like math at you. All because of the teacher. I have a feeling on the day that Jesus left, these disciples were scared to death. And then they started doing what Andy did with Don Webb. They said, remember that day we were catching? They said, oh, yeah, that was cool. Jesus walked on the water. Yeah, wasn't it? You know, everybody's excited. And then when they're older, they say, you know what? This has been a tough discipleship life, but I wouldn't do what? I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it all had to begin with a man calling. And that man is Jesus. Was he calling me? Yep. What's he calling me to do? We've got to be in Christ first. He's calling me to be his. I don't even know Jesus. So it begins with that. If this is the army, guess what? Swearing in process. I will therefore give my life to the military. And I might even literally give my life to the military. Welcome aboard. Go get your clothes. We're going to Fort Bragg. Wow. And you're excited and scared at the same time. Okay. So you'd say something like this. Jesus, I need you. Would you be my Savior and forgive me of my sins and come in my heart? Change me. I need to change. And Jesus just gives you a big old hug and says, welcome aboard. Remain in me now. Remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You got to remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Look at this. Remain, 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 remain. We cannot do anything apart from Christ, but we can bear much fruit if we're in Christ. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you. Did you catch this? I don't know, you might have missed a verse, but let's go back. We do two things. If nothing else, I don't know if I can. Can I just encourage you to do this today? Look in your Bibles again. Look in chapter 15, verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We bring joy to Jesus when we grow. Well, I guess I got to be perfect. I didn't say perfect at all. David, are you perfect, David? Your daddy's still proud of you, you know that? Well, I thought I had, you don't have, no. Quit doing that to yourself. Benjamin, you said the other day, you know, you learned in Bible study, God's forgiven us. He never does another thing. He's done enough, right? Well, that sets you free. I used to do the same thing as you. I think it's performance-based. Lord, I did all this, but I messed up once. Oh, I guess I'm a failure. God will. And I finally started doing this. Let's just pretend like you've sinned this week. I know I have, and you know I used to just drag it out for days. What if I said a cuss word and that thing, ugh. And then the guilt lasts for hours. Sin lasted 4 seconds. But anyway, the devil, I got to anymore when I mess up, I just say, Lord, forgive me. He jumps right back up in the devil. Well, I used to keep him defeated for weeks. He's back up on his feet. Yeah. If you fumble the ball, I want you to get back in the game. Let's go. Get back up. Why? I bring him joy when I jump back up. I bring him joy. My joy is complete. I bring him glory. In other words, I think people are happy. Now, will he push you? But he does it lovingly. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Chris, what's glory? What do I bring God glory? What's that mean?
Bring him acknowledge and show him what he's done. Let other people see.
How can I do that? Bear much fruit.
To tell him what he's done for me.
So I tell you what, I'm just going to tell you what God's done. Well, how can I do that? Well, if I bear much fruit, it makes him look good. I sure am proud of you. No, God gets all the glory. This is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Can I give you one last story to make you think about something? God will push you, but he does it lovingly. I guarantee you, Simon Peter, you need to stand up with your testimony right here. I've never done this before. Come here. I'm in you, you're in me, right?
Yes, sir.
You're going to be okay. Okay. When somebody pushes you, you'll do things that you never thought you could do. There's a man named John Cappelletti. He played football for Penn State, some no-name school up in the East. Anyway, Penn State, John Cappelletti was a running back. He was supposed to be pretty good his senior year. And I'm going to do all right, and I'm going to start, but I don't know. And his brother, Joey, died of leukemia. But before he died, Joey got leukemia, and all that season, his head shaved. He's losing his hair because of the chemo. And Joey would come over to John and give him a hug. I tell you, I've watched something for Joey, that movie, and he'd just weep. But anyway, here's little Joey that would come to his brother John and say, John, score me a touchdown. Joey, it's hard to do, but okay. He scored him a touchdown in the football game on Saturday. Come back, and Joey says, score me two. Joey, yeah, okay. By the end of the season, you know what Joey was telling him? John, it's going to be 4 today. Okay, Joey. He's called 4 touchdowns. He did that so often he won the Heisman that year. So he's setting up the Heisman ceremony. And they put this big trophy up there. And they said, John Cappelletti, the winner of the Heisman. And here's a big old strong 22-year-old running back. He said, I didn't win this. Let me give it to the guy that earns it. Come here, Joey. And Joey comes up. He said, take this, because you've made me the what? Player that I am. If you hadn't pushed me, I would have never won the Heisman. I would have never been the player that I am. Gives his brother a hug. So a little boy about 8 or 9 years old pushes John. You ever had somebody push you? And you're like, oh, I hate this. Later, you go back and go, thanks. Now I want you to picture Jesus going, I need you to grow more than you ever have. I want you to help Edgar because he needs help. we're going to grow life on. We're going to add people in. The next thing, there won't be any empty chairs because they'll come to find out about me. But more importantly, their name will go down in the Lamb's Book of Life and they'll get saved. And I'm going to grow them and then we'll make them disciples. And then they'll make disciples. And then we'll, oh, it'll bring me glory and a smile and joy will be mine and the Father. And oh, we're just, hallelujah. Bible says angels rejoice when someone comes to Jesus. So Kendall sent up a chorus of ways. Angels sang, what, two Sundays ago, happy birthday, 2 week birthday, spiritually. Kendall got saved 2 weeks ago. Asked Jesus to save her. He said, oh, comes, gives her a hug. So happy birthday, 2 weeks. And now you get to be a disciple. And then you get to disciple others. You ready to grow? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today we just come to you, and Lord, I want you to push us because you do it lovingly. You're like Joey that pushed his brother John, pushed him so well and so lovingly that his brother won the Heisman. And Jesus, if you push me, I'll bring you joy. And who knows, we'll maybe just win a few awards, but we can land at your feet one day when we see you in heaven. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, the first step in being a disciple, we got to be in you. So Jesus, draw them today in a sinful face. Say, Jesus, I've ran long enough from you. I'm going to stop running. I surrender. I'm yours. And you lovingly give them a big hug and say, great, the adventure begins. Lord, I know saving us is the joy to you. Angels sing when we come to you. And then, Jesus, you grow us. So, Lord, would you push us? Would you challenge us? And it would be like Benjamin, get up a little bit earlier to go study our Bibles. We can do that in our own house. We can just start reading a few verses. 5 verses, 10 verses, anything more than we did last week. And it's just something about it when we start reading. We'll think, Lord, you're speaking to me, aren't you? And we'll get a sense of your presence around us. And the next thing you know, life seems a little bit more manageable. I mean, it's perfect. It wasn't for the disciples you handpicked. It won't be for the disciples you've got today. But Lord, it'll just be manageable. We can do all things through you. So Lord, thanks for the challenge today. And I pray the adventure would begin. And I pray we'd decide to do something today that we didn't do yesterday for you. We just say a simple prayer. We just try to read. We just say to someone else, I'm glad I went to church yesterday. Maybe you can come with me next week. Well, we just got to do something. We're your workmanship. I want to make you proud of us. And if someone guides us, well, we're encouraged by that. So, Lord, you guide us. You be our teacher. You be our disciple maker. Make us more like you. For they will bring joy to you and put a smile on your face. Lord, thanks for loving us more than we'll ever know. Loving us enough to die for us. I'm glad you're seated at the Father's right hand. May you hear my words even now. Jesus, may you work on us. Touch your hearts even right now. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.